This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, well, Peter Rosenberg joining us now. ESPN
up,
New York, WWE.
Yo.
More than I can even think of. What would the reaction be in New York if I said that I think the Pistons have been screwed out of at least one win in this series?
I think people would agree. I think people would agree that the end of the game Sunday was no question a missed call. I don't know if anyone would agree with looking at it in those terms, though, on account of like the back and forth of people being screwed. So like the refs have now put themselves in a pickle of where they let things go, then they make up for it, then they make up for it the other way.
Yeah, I hate that.
Because like that, the call, Josh Hart clearly made contact at the end of that game. The problem is, for 47 minutes, you didn't want to call it that way. So, Guess what? Now there's a little light contact at the end of the game. It absolutely disrupted the shot. If I was a Pistons fan, I'd be red hot. But it was kind of consistent with how they called the day that day. The bigger piece is, though, I think they just missed it. I just think the angle the ref had on the floor, I think it wasn't clear that the contact was there, and then the replay was super clear. But no, I don't think many people would fight that one game clearly was, you know, a tough way to lose for the Pistons.
If we go back and watch everything from multiple angles, we could change every play out there. But this is what I don't like about shooters today in this day and age. A shooter can go, they can jump into you and the foul's on you. Who initiated contact? The shooter, right? So that foul, Josh did touch him. But he also leaned to where Josh was jumping to. You know, so I just think
you're supposed to have room to land.
Yeah, that's the land. He didn't land. He jumped and he hit him in the air as he was going by. The guy made sure he made contact with him. The NBA is so screwed up with their calling, it kills me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Brunson is a master of drawing fouls.
Yes, yes.
And he no question uses the tactic that you're referring to right now. He's very, very good at it. So, yeah, man, it is what it is. But the bottom line is, this Knicks team, bro, their inability to close out the other day, you know, it just seems like when they get deep in a game, even though they have, like, maybe the most clutch player in the sport in Jalen Brunson, first of all, how is Thibodeau not able to get Brunson on the floor for those last 2 minutes of the game? The will they, won't they, in terms of moving on from Thibodeau, which like is a huge conversation, and it's kind of a crazy conversation when you think about his winning percentage. But like then moments like that happen, and I go, and listen, I don't think they should move on from the guy, but he certainly gives people a lot of ammo when you do things like you're unable to stop the clock and get your best damn player in the game at the end of the game.
Yeah, he seemed to have no offensive prowess. All his stuff is all about defense
and effort.
But in the NBA today, you win by scoring. You don't win by just going out there playing defense.
To me, Thibodeau, even when he was with Chicago and Derrick Rose and those teams, he has really good regular season records because he demands defense and effort from his players, and a lot of NBA teams just don't deliver that night in and night out, and his teams do. But you saw this in Chicago, and I think you're seeing it with the Knicks now. It inflates expectations for the records because they're winning 50 games, 55 games, and then you get to the playoffs where everybody's trying hard, and it's like, oh, wait, these guys aren't that good. Peter, you're watching the Knicks more closely, but I feel like that's been like a trend with Thibodeau.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that is a trend. You know, he eats a lot of criticism for running his teams too hard. I think that's a little bit unfair. I think there's a narrative there because, you know, Derrick Rose was always hurt that, like, Tom Thibodeau kills his players. I don't think that's true. I do think it's true, though, that, like, he has the ability to get you to crush it during the regular season, but he's yet to prove that when it's big boy time, you know, except for when he was an assistant for the Celtics, you know, he hasn't been able to do it on his own. So they obviously need to win this series. I think if they win this series, he avoids any problems this offseason. But, like, more than that, you know, the Knicks were very good last year, and I understand they got a little bit softer by losing Hartenstein, DiVincenzo, and Julius Randle, but they should be able to at least play some games with the Celtics if they get out of this round. Like, I don't think they could just go and get completely washed. It can't look like the Orlando-Boston series. They got to be able to play with the Celtics a bit, too. And they should be able to. They have some very good players on this team. But, yeah, they have looked lost basically most of the last month or so.
They have. We're talking with our friend Peter Rosenberg. You can give him a follow at Rosenberg Radio. Peter joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Peter's in New York doing ESPN. He's doing WWE. He's doing all sorts of stuff. But
I'm on Hot Take tomorrow, by the way.
Uh-oh, First Take. Peter Rosenberg and Stephen A. Dude, but I know where your heart is, and it's with the burgundy and gold. I'm curious. I wanted to talk Knicks because the game is tonight, but I got to get – I know we texted about this, but I want you to be able to share with your hometown kind of your reaction to seeing the RFK news. Certainly nothing's locked in or done deal, but there's a lot of momentum, I would say.
Yeah, this is it's amazing news. It's like, you know, I don't want to, like, you know, continue to, like, get my hopes up about the future, but, man, the hits keep on coming. Like,
yeah.
These are just – and it's just – if this ain't good karma, you know, I don't know what is. It just seems like the witch is dead. I've said it many times on the show, man. The witch is dead, and things are going the right direction. This is – I had a conversation with friends this week about – going in on season tickets. And, you know, I think I've told you guys this before. When my name came up on the list in the, whenever it was, 2010, something like that, you know how fast I passed?
Yeah.
Like, when I was a little kid, I promised myself, like, when I'm a grown-up and I get the chance, I am going to get season tickets. And then the moment came, and I was like, I am not getting season tickets to see this team. And now I think there's every reason to think I would go in on season tickets. Like, who wouldn't want it coming from New York? And obviously there's so many people like me, right, who are fans here in New York. Who wouldn't want to come down 4 or 5 times a year to D.C. to see this team play in the renderings of the building that we've seen? Like, who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah. And, you know, like, I know this group of people who had a suite. Now that suite got 40 seats in it. They decided to go bigger because people are excited about what's out there, you know. And you don't mind spending your money when you're getting something in return.
I
don't think people thought they were getting stuff in return previously.
Well, just to continue that thought, B, think about the home games last year. If it wasn't a last-second win, it was generally an ass-kicking. They had one. They lose once at home to Dallas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was the only real disappointment, I would say, because the Ravens lost, and they lost to the Steelers, but that was it wasn't great. You don't want to lose, but it wasn't a blowout. It came down to the wire. The people that went to Commanders games last year, they almost had a blast at every game, down to the wire or a blowout, and I guess they lost twice at home.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy to think about that, too.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I also think on the flip side of that coin, I will say this. It is possible our record was a bit inflated by those last-minute wins too, right? Like, that is on the table, that a couple of those games go the other direction, and maybe we don't feel as great as we feel. But the bottom line is it landed how it landed, and it doesn't change the fact that we went into Detroit in the second week of the playoffs and kicked their ass. It doesn't change that. So... yeah, it was amazing. You know, I went for a game. I wasn't hurt by that. The Dallas loss at home was a stinger. But in general, nah, man, this team is bringing a lot of joy. And I wasn't super dialed in on draft day. But when I looked and saw what they did, I was generally pleased with it. They just seem to be buttoned up, man. And hopefully this deal gets done. I'm like, I understand. I listened to your guys' show yesterday. And I've been reading a bit about the controversy. To me, this doesn't seem like anything beyond what there always is when a stadium is getting built.
But I tend to agree with you.
If they're going to put up $2.7 billion of it, listen, obviously it's going to cost taxpayers, and in addition to that. But as long as they're putting up their due, I really feel like of all the things we as taxpayers get forced to spend our money on, this is one that will bring people personal joy and incredible benefit to the community. I mean, as B. Mitch mentioned yesterday, he referenced the idea of Beyonce being there. Like, if Beyonce was in that building this summer instead of FedEx or whatever the hell it's called, Northwell Trust West Bank, I'd be going home for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's
right.
It becomes such a destination for so many things. Plus, the Super Bowl alone is going to make so much money for the city.
Totally.
So, to me, you know, without knowing every single political detail, this just feels like something that has to happen.
Peter, last thing from me. So, you've been doing radio a long time. B. Mitch and I are at a remote right now at the Rood Employee Appreciation Picnic. Rood's a great partner of ours, and we're really enjoying just hanging out here. But I'm speaking in the same voice I've been speaking in pretty much throughout the day because, Peter, I wanted to point out to you, they have awesome barbecue here, ribs, brisket, pulled pork, and our remote engineer ate so much that he's now currently asleep. And I that woke him right up. There we go.
No.
And then our buddy that we invited was asleep as well.
People, yo, the ribs are hitting out here, Peter. It's like Thanksgiving when the tryptophan hits, man.
You know, he was until that moment, he was literally sleeping with the headset on.
Yeah. I plead the fifth.
I think we got pictures.
Thank you, dude. Appreciate you making time for us.
Later, boys.
All right, bro.
That's our guy, Peter Rosenberg. Give him a follow at Rosenberg Radio.
Boy.
We come out closing out the day from the Rood Employee Appreciation Picnic, and we got to make some bets.
Let's go, baby.